We begin on campus where UNC police are investigating a body found at the Forest Theater early Saturday morning. Police have listed the death as a suicide, which occurred at 2:35 a.m. No other details, but in the wake of that tragedy, officials are urging anyone who's considering suicide or self-harm to contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255. You can find that number on our website, chapelboro.com, as well, plus information about mental health resources on campus. Staying on campus, more contention last week over UNC's COVID-19 policies as student leaders on Friday publicly criticized campus leaders for not taking more action, and campus leaders had a sharp response. 97.9 The Hill's Ben Rappaport reports.
Calling this meeting at 11:36 a.m.
UNC student body president Lamar Richards called an emergency meeting of the campus president's council to discuss university COVID-19 policies and concerns about increased cases on campus. The council is comprised of diverse student groups across campus, including student government, Black Student Movement, and the Campus Y. Earlier this week, Richards and the undergraduate executive branch issued a message to the Carolina community. The message demanded university administration institute mandatory weekly COVID testing for all students, improve testing infrastructure, and a vaccine mandate for all community members. Senior advisor to the student body president, Greer Webb, read the statement at Friday's meeting.
The value of the safety of our community is not open for negotiation. It requires a commitment, unconditionally and unrelentingly, to the pursuit of intentional safety measures that effectively, accurately, and transparently support the health and well-being of our community, of our students, of our faculty, and of our staff, not that of our institution's public image.
Other recommendations in the message included an outdoor mask mandate at large public gatherings like sporting events and a requirement for hybrid education in all classes. The President's Council unanimously approved the statement and its recommendations to university administration. Webb said passing the motion outlines what administration should do, and he hopes it forces the university to take action.
We should have been planning and preparing for something like this, especially right when school began as cases were increasing. Not decreasing, but increasing, we should have been planning these things. And so I don't want to put all the burden on students by any means or professors, but on the university to provide those technologies and to be in favor of such policies so that we can get a plan of action going.
Richards directed his recommendations toward UNC administrators and invited Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz to attend the meeting. Guskowitz and other invited administrators were not in attendance. In a letter to the student body president shared by UNC, Guskowitz wrote, "Some leaders were out of town for the meeting. He declined to attend because he said Richards is, quote, more interested in generating publicity than producing meaningful dialogue." UNC spokesperson Joanne Peters-Denny echoed the chancellor. She said in a statement after the meeting, the students' comments, quote, grossly misrepresented the university's COVID-19 policies. She added, quote, the chancellor values student input and will continue to work directly with the student leaders in the best interest of the campus, but he will not participate in publicity stunts. Student body vice president Colin Smith said he was disappointed but not surprised that administration didn't show up to the meeting.
There's no way that we can pretend we're in a comfortable or normal space right now. It really feels like that's what administrators did today, was prioritize their comfort and their image over being in a space to truly be accountable to students.
Smith said he is frustrated because there is a disconnect between student demands and what he sees as misguided optimism from administration.
There's no other words than frustrating to be just set up again and again and again and brought along and feel like when we make these tiny pieces of incremental progress that we take five more back steps with that one step of progress.
As students shared their concerns about the university's COVID response, Richard said he believes it is time for real leadership to step up.
I think today it solidified the belief that leadership means something very simple. It means showing up. And so moving forward, I hope that the public, and most importantly our administration, learns from this moment that there is no perfect solution, but there is always a perfect answer, that's listening.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ben Rappaport.
All local agencies are taking steps in the fight against COVID-19, including in Carrboro, where town employees were required to get vaccinated by the beginning of the month. And virtually every town employee has done so, as new town manager Richard White told 97.9 The Hill last week.
As you know, we're still working through the pandemic. We've recently asked our employees to be vaccinated, and I'm pleased to say they've responded very well to that request.
I see 99% of the employees are vaccinated?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic group of employees, and they responded very well.
I didn't know the town had 100 employees for it to even be 99%.
That's there are 153, good. I believe.
Is it that many?
Of employees, yes. Yeah. That's the right number. We're very pleased with the way they responded. But again, our main goal is to make sure our employees are safe and that our public is safe as well. And so we believe that being vaccinated is a great way to do that. We've also implemented mask mandates as well. So doing all we can to make sure that our employees and the community is safe as well.
That's Carrboro Town Manager Richard White speaking with me there. You can get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Over to Raleigh now, where Governor Roy Cooper on Friday vetoed a bill that would prohibit the public disclosure of donors to North Carolina-based nonprofits. Republican supporters say the measure protects donors from being harassed for their views. Opponents say it's an unnecessary measure that thwarts efforts to identify who's giving to dark money political groups. Meanwhile, in the courts, the State Court of Appeals has issued a temporary stay blocking enforcement of a lower court order that threw out a state law banning convicted felons from voting even after they've been released from prison. That law will remain in place while the higher court hears an appeal. Staying in the courts, a federal judge in Charlotte ruled on Friday that a Roman Catholic school violated federal anti-discrimination law when it fired a gay teacher after he announced that he was going to get married. That happened in 2014. The Supreme Court ruled last year that the federal ban on sex discrimination also applies to discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Religious institutions have some exemptions from that law, but only when it comes to employees who perform explicitly religious functions. That one school is not the only one with discriminatory policies. An NNO study this week found that at least $2.6 million in state private school voucher funds last year ultimately went to schools with anti-LGBTQ policies. And the NNO is also reporting a new study from Oxfam that has found North Carolina is the absolute worst state in the U.S. for workers based on state laws governing wages, worker protections, and the right to unionize. North Carolina ranks 52nd overall. That's dead last among the 50 states, plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. 6:17 is your time. Time now for sports news brought to you this hour by Bold Construction. It was a rough start to the season for Carolina football as the Tar Heels fell to Virginia Tech 17-10. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe with more now on what Coach Mack Brown took from the game and how the Tar Heels can improve going forward.
The UNC football team will attempt to put a sobering start to the season behind it after dropping their first game to Virginia Tech 17-10. The Tar Heels were behind the eight ball all night, never leading and letting the Hokies control almost 35 minutes of possession. Head coach Mack Brown expressed disappointment in the Hokies' ability to run the ball so effectively.
Oh, we just struggled so much the first half. We couldn't stop the run on first down. That was our game plan coming in. And then we gave up third and 14 and two third and 15s. And thank goodness we forced a turnover at the nine or they probably would have scored again. And offensively, we didn't have the ball. And then when we did, we weren't in sync.
Still, Brown acknowledged that despite all the mistakes made by his team, their efforts still had them in the game entering the final minute.
I'm really, really proud of the effort. I know North Carolina fans are because those kids fought their guts out, and we've just got to help them more as coaches.
But looking ahead to the future, Brown said that for the Tar Heels to take the next step, intense atmospheres like the one in Blacksburg can't be an issue, while also asking Carolina fans to be the types of difference makers the Hokie fans were Friday night.
So this was a step we needed to take. We haven't taken it yet, so we've got to continue to work to not only do keep winning at home, and our fans can have this same atmosphere next week when we play Georgia State, but we've got to start winning tough games on the road.
The Tar Heels will open their home campaign Saturday, September 11th at 7:30 p.m. Though the game is not yet an official sellout, it could yet turn into one, as the university is giving free tickets to all first responders to honor the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Interested parties can find more information on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Pre-game coverage starting on 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. One individual honor came in over the weekend for freshman running back Caleb Hood. He was named a preseason freshman All-American by the website On3. More from Mack Brown coming up throughout the day today, including right here on this show. We'll have a special Tuesday installment of Mondays with Mack coming at you at 7:30 this morning. And then we got the Mack Brown Show coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. It was a better weekend for UNC field hockey. They bounced back from their season opening losses with a pair of wins over the weekend, beating Princeton 4-1 on Friday and Penn 9-1 on Sunday. Aaron Mattson became UNC's all-time leader in goals and points with 4 goals and 2 assists in that game against Penn. She broke the records previously held by Cindy Worley, who graduated back in 1997. Fifth-ranked UNC men's soccer also got a pair of wins, beating Georgia Southern 3-0 on Friday and Davidson last night by the exact same score. Carolina's now 3-0 on the season with one tie. Second-ranked UNC women's soccer also got a win, coming from behind to beat number 10 Stanford on Sunday 2-1 in overtime to move to 6-0 on the season. Macy Bell got the game-winning goal as the Tar Heels avenged their loss to Stanford in the 2019 National Championship game. UNC volleyball also moved to 6-0 on the season with a trio of wins at home, coming back from 2 sets down to beat Colorado State on Friday before shutting out both Wofford and ECU on Saturday. And UNC men's and women's cross country both took first in their season opening meet. That was down in Charlotte. In high school football, Chapel Hill stayed unbeaten with a 36-29 win over Northwood. Carrboro rolled over East Chapel Hill 50-0, and Orange fell to Cummings 54-12. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls split 6 games at Jacksonville last week, losing their last game on Sunday 5-1. The Bulls are back at home tonight hosting Norfolk. That game starts at 6:35.